Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, DeAndre Hopkins is on his way to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the latest in what's been, honestly, the latest in what's been kind of a crazy wide receiver offseason, or crazy wide receiver year going back to the offseason with all the waiting around for extensions on Jordan Jefferson or Justin Jefferson. The Brandon Ayuk thing just ultimately wound up being not a sad story. He got paid, but ultimately wound up being a big popcorn fart with him going out with a torn ACL and MCL.
It ultimately ended up being like the prime exhibit in the falling apart of the San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl window.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. Okay, yeah, they did all this. They paid all these guys these contracts to try to keep the core around for one more year, including Brandon Ayuk. There was drama all offseason. He shows up, doesn't produce, gets injured, done for the year, boom.
Yep.
But you got to pay him all that money.
Yep. And the Texans have been part of the whole wide receiver drama, trading for Stephon Diggs. Granted, that goes all the way back to April, but I'm including the offseason here. Diggs coming here, all the contract disputes or machinations or holdouts with CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, I mentioned, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins in the franchise tag in Cincinnati, and it's bled into the regular season here with Devontae Adams now being traded and having debuted with the Jets last week. Amari Cooper traded to the Bills and having a pretty productive debut with the Bills. He got into the end zone. Brandon Ayuk out for the season. Now, yesterday, rumors popping up that L.A. would be open to trading Cooper Kupp, who Super Bowl MVP. I mean, he's been a fixture in L.A. since he got there. Here's Diana Rossini of The Athletic yesterday on the Dan Le Batard show talking about the Rams being open to trading Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, Kansas City Chiefs. Is there a chance?
If the Rams are willing to take on the salary, I heard that they're willing to do. So they are definitely open to trading Cooper Kupp. So we'll see if they'll be able to get a deal done. I just don't think Kansas City has even enough money, even if the Rams were to take on some of that salary. That's been the problem and the reason why they haven't been able to go after a Devontae Adams, an Amari Cooper, like we've seen other teams be aggressive with.
All right, so Cooper Kupp possibly on the block. There's teams that need wide receivers.
The scary thing with Cooper Kupp is that, all right, in 2021, he almost had 2,000 yards receiving. And the most he's had since then, because of a combination of mostly injuries, but also just he's not quite the same guy on film. He had 812 yards a couple years ago. He had 737 yards receiving last year.
Yeah.
In that time, he missed 15 games in two seasons. So, I wonder just like how much of a just how much of a quick fix teams look at him as a
That's a fair point. I think from a Rams perspective, I'm wondering, okay, what can we get for him?
Yeah.
And I think what you described to me, Seth, I mean, Cooper Kupp is a younger player than DeAndre Hopkins, but what you're describing in terms of the dynamic over the last couple of years is very similar to Hopkins, where a couple of years ago, he wasn't 2,000 yards productive, but he was a more productive player then. Injuries have hit now. I mean, he had an MCL injury in the preseason this year, DeAndre Hopkins did. For those who haven't gotten caught up to speed on it, the Chiefs are sending what sounds to be, it's been reported as a conditional fourth-round pick. Some of the reports I've seen is it's a fifth that could go to a fourth with certain parameters. So whether you view that as a conditional fifth or fourth, that's the neighborhood it's in, like a beginning of day three, a first half of day three pick. The Rams in that cut there, you heard Diana Rossini say that they're looking to get a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp. I think it's important that you mention there how much money the Rams are willing to take on with all that, because they're going to have to get a second round. After what you just outlined, Seth, they have no chance of getting a second round pick just straight up for Cooper Kupp without paying most of the rest of his salary this year.
Right.
Taking on some money. Then the Rams are buying a second round pick, essentially.
And and the Rams are definitely in that range where, okay, he's 31 years old. He's been injured. He's been injured the last three seasons. Mm-hmm. He hasn't actually produced all that much. Why on earth would we keep him around for another 2 years or so? We need to be clearing the deck still of guys just like this.
Yes. Which then begs the question, which has been brought up, I've seen it brought up by people, And there was a rumor yesterday that I don't know how substantiated it is because I don't the outlet that was reporting it wasn't among the trusted ones. But Florio went and ran with it as a hypothetical yesterday, purely hypothetical. But if you're going to look, if you're going to trade Cooper Kupp, if you're tearing it down, Rams, there are teams in need of high level quarterback play out there.
Yeah.
Why not go all the way and trade Matthew Stafford in this whole thing?
Ooh.
And they brought up the Vikings, which would be fascinating to me because Sam Darnold has played pretty well this year. He's not Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played better than Stafford this year, but he's in a much better situation than Stafford.
He's in a better situation than Stafford. Oh, boy. What do you... Ooh. And then the Jets, obviously. They can't do it. But
yeah.
Are the Jets in Browns territory right now where they're kind of hoping the quarterback gets injured? They're like, all right, man, this is all right. This is probably it for him. And, of course, no, we
That's
never
really
want anybody
funny.
To get injured. But this would make things a lot simpler and less dramatic, at least.
That's really
But they're
funny.
Not in a position to trade for him.
No. If we were in Minnesota right now, would we want a Matthew Stafford trade? You're 5-1. Sam Darnold's playing pretty well, but do you feel like Sam Darnold is a potential Super Bowl winning quarterback? Is he a guy that can? Is he a guy that can in the postseason can beat Detroit? Can beat? I don't know who else are we talking about in the NFC right now? I mean, really, it's their division that we're talking about. We're talking about Green Bay and. So I guess we got to talk about is Sam Darnold, a guy that can get out of his own division with all those good teams like Green Bay and Detroit in there. Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
that might be.
I don't
Minnesota
know. I'm treading carefully with Sam Darnold just because
his face is still fat, Seth.
But I've been so wrong about him in so many ways thus
Me
far.
Too.
I mean, if you just look at him on the season, he's having a better year than he's ever had in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. So I have to throw out all of my preconceived notions about Sam Darnold and just go based on what I've seen him like up close and personal when he faced the Texans, is that he's doing everything he needs to do to keep that offense in position to win football games.
It's funny.
I don't know.
Yeah, like the NFC's weird because San Francisco is so mediocre right now. You know what I mean? Like the NFC was already the lesser of the two conferences. Coming into this season, you're right, like you look at any QB power ranking and like, wow, the six best quarterbacks in football are all in the AFC. I don't know how that shifted or changed this year so far. I feel like it's still pretty similar to that. There have been some good performances in the NFC. Maybe it's a case with a team like the Vikings, Seth, where they go, look, with San Francisco kind of at least temporarily out of the picture and dealing with a ton of injuries right now, this might be an NFC that's there for the taking if we go from having a, I'll call him a B-level quarterback in Darnold, to a pretty recent Super Bowl champion in Matthew Stafford. You know? Like, okay, if we can just get through. Like, these are the four division leaders right now in the NFC. Detroit, really good football team. Washington, good team, but how sustainable is this? They haven't played one division game yet. Seattle just lost three games in a row before beating Atlanta. And who's the other division leader? Atlanta. Like, that's not a real daunting roster of teams that you would need to get through if you're Minnesota and you feel like going from B-level quarterback play to potentially A-level quarterback play could get us into a Super Bowl, you know?
But I don't know. Is Stafford A-level quarterback play?
That's the
I don't
big
look
question.
At him as A-level quarterback play.
I don't think so.
No, I like Sam Darnold more right now.
You do?
If it has to come down to Sam Darnold scrambling to extend time or something in a key moment in the game, I just think that Sam Darnold's got more upside in that regard than Matt Stafford does at this point in his career.
No, there's no doubt about that. They're different guys. They're different athletes. I mean, Stafford... I'm with you. I if I were Minnesota, I wouldn't do it because it's probably going to cost you a high-level pick also. I would just roll and see what happens. But it all depends on how does Minnesota see Matt Stafford is the big question.
Right. And, yeah, what do they look at him as, okay, what could we be doing with him that we can't quite get out of Sam Darnold? And do they see where the end point is with Sam Darnold? That game versus the Jets game, it's not like Sam Darnold played – like he didn't win them that game.
Right.
So that's the one because how many games have they won?
They're 5-1 right now.
They're 5-1 with Sam Darnold.
With Sam Darnold, they're 5-1. And I think the other thing to point out though as you point out with Stafford, like, what is Stafford at this point? Is it fair to think that with Kevin O'Connell as a head coach, you're going to get the best version of whoever's playing quarterback there?
Right.
Has done a real, did a real good job with Kirk Cousins, won games with Josh Dobbs last year.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's 5-1. Like, I think it's fair to say, to me, my biggest concern with Stafford would just be his age and his health. That would be the biggest thing, is we make a trade for him and something happens, because he's on the wrong side of 35 now.
I would say you go with that Minnesota-Green Bay game, and Minnesota just destroyed Green Bay. The final score ended up being 31-29, but Minnesota destroyed Green Bay for three quarters.
Yes.
And Green Bay clawed their way back into, potentially something happened in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And like, Green Bay's a better team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I don't see Sam Darnold being the ceiling on what this team could do.
Yeah.
No, I would stick with Sam.
You'd stick with him.
Is he gonna make a 2-time sucker out of me?
He's come a long way with us, Sam Darnold.
First half of this season. I guess if he makes a sucker out of me again, it'll negate the first time that I was suckered when I said, like, nah, Sam Darnold's not gonna do it for them. So but I'm not counting him out.
Yeah. So back to wide receiver. I feel like when you look at all the moves that have been made wide receiver wise, I feel like even though Diggs has not been able to elevate this offense, you know, this offense is worse than it was last year.
Yeah.
Of all the moves, like I still feel good about the Diggs move compared to the other, you know, like they, like the, San Francisco's got to be like, what were we thinking with giving Brandon Ayuk this money, especially considering the way he handled his business. I think, you know, it's still too early with the Jets and the Bills with how they feel about Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper. I feel like in the universe of wide receiver moves that have been made and will be made probably soon, I still feel good about the Diggs trade.
Yeah, a lot of that is just simply, okay, as a compliment to Nico Collins, yeah, he's a really, really good. We saw that when Nico Collins was in there, Stephon Diggs was churning out receptions. Mm-hmm. He was one of the top five in receptions in the league at that point. And I still feel good about that as long as Nico Collins does come back.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here where Christian Harris, one of our listeners thought that Christian Harris was designated for return. As far as I can tell, they're basing that on seeing that he was on the Texans website. He's on the list of reserve/designated to return.
He could come back.
He hasn't been designated to return that we can tell as of yet. So we're sitting here with Christian Harris with what was supposed to be a minor injury on the first day of training camp, still isn't coming back. So So I can't sit here and think like, well, yeah, they're just being careful with Nico Collins. He'll be back eventually. But if he does come back, then yeah, that the Stephon Diggs trade looks really, really good. So.
Okay. Back to the Texans O-line for a second. We're not going to read texts like this.
Oh, no.
I bet these O-line players close their fridge with their hips. Not going to read that. All right.
Don't read it. We're not going to indulge in
stuff. We're not going to read texts like that on this show.
We're not going to talk about them sitting down to pee or anything
no,
like that.
No, I'm definitely not reading that. Yeah.
We're certainly not going to make any analogies about them, you know, making lunch for their girlfriend's boyfriend or anything like that. No.
We're not
playing that game.
We're not reading any of the texts like that.
No, we're not. Nor are we encouraging you to send more in.
No. 713-572.
We would never encourage us to suggest analogies like that.
No, yeah. We would never tell you to send those to 713-572-4610.
And we'll tell you the examples of the ones that we won't be reading.
Correct.
As we start to
receive
those texts.
So that you guys can correct your behavior.
That we're certainly not requesting.
Yes, thank you, Seth. Absolutely.
I want to be sure everybody knows exactly what we will and will not accept.
We're going to hammer that point home throughout the rest of the show. If you guys dare to send these texts to 713-572-4610, okay? Do we have it? Do we?
Telling
are we clear
us about how they're like, yo, yeah, these guys will ask for directions at a gas station.
Are we clear? Like
any of these things? Yes.
Are we clear on this? Okay. actual offensive line question, Seth. When do we get to see Blake Fisher? Is that a bigger risk than keeping on right now?
That's the thing. Is that again? We're in this spot where we've got expectations, and it's not like Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil are bad at all. It's just they're not playing up to their salary. Yeah. And for the people that want to defend various offensive linemen by the Texans by bringing up their PFF grades on, like, oh, yeah, but look, he's the sixth. Laramie's the sixth best
pass protector
in the league. Oh, okay, we're playing the PFF game, are we? You like the Pro Football Focus grades. According to Pro Football Focus, he's a mediocre. He's middle of the pack, as is Titus Howard when it comes to offensive tackles in the NFL. Why is that? Because they're not that good at run blocking, okay? And also, like, Laramie skates by on some of these Fugazi stats about him never letting up a pressure or something. He's gotten lucky as hell a couple times where he's gotten destroyed, but CJ's already scrambling to the right or something.
I need some Seth Payne YouTube injected into my veins. Come on, man.
I don't like doing the low light stuff because then it ends up being people pick those up and run with it. Yeah. You know, you throw the worst snap that somebody has had out there, and then in their minds, that's how they play every single snap.
Right, right, right. I get it.
But no, neither of those guys are worth the money you're paying them. I don't care how good Laramie Tunsil is in pass protection. He's not worth the money you're paying him. He's not as good as those other guys.
Yep.
He's not as good. I think sometimes because of the preeminence of the passing game, people confuse good pass protection for being an elite offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. And he's not. He's not up there on that same level as the genuinely elite offensive tackles in terms of being an overall complete player.
That's right.
And yet the Texans have twice made him the highest paid offensive tackle in the league.
Let's see here. I was thinking about the – this is from Chris in the ATL, I believe. I was thinking about the weakest link on the O-line and it being Kenyon Green or Titus Howard. Which one of those – oh, boy. Which one of those is the Jose Abreu of the Texans, meaning they've been given every chance, but it's not working and best they be replaced. Once the Astros replaced Abreu, the lineup performed better, and so did the team as a whole. Or is that too much of a stretch – to put Abreu on Green or Howard in this analogy?
I think, honestly, so this is where I am with the offensive tackles right now. I don't think Blake Fisher is a better replacement than either of those guys. I don't think now's the time you do that. Again, they're not playing poorly. They're just not playing up to the level that you would have expected them based on how you paid them.
Yeah.
I think the bigger question is, okay, at what point do you swap out somebody for Kenyon Green?
Right.
Like, Kenyon Green's the one guy that gets beat physically really bad more often than I want right
That's
there.
A replaceable piece right
there. Yeah, 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 yeah. Juice Scruggs, I think, it's more on the young center making the calls, getting everything right pre-snap that I worry about more, and there's nothing that fixes that other than more reps.
Yeah, you just signed up for that.
He's doing. I think physically, I'm not as worried about him as I am with Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
So the question is more like, okay, do they? I just hope they don't think the solution is to move Titus Howard to guard because he's an awful guard.
No.
All those things when people say these guys shut their fridge door with their hips, that's Titus Howard when he plays guard.
He is
not a guard.
No.
A guard, you need a junkyard dog in you, and Titus Howard is not a junkyard dog.
All right, we talked about the wide receiver market. DeAndre Hopkins on the move today. He is headed to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're finalizing that deal. So we'll talk more about that. But one market that developed this offseason that the Texans were participating in, and it's been a home run, not just for them, but around the league. We'll dig into that coming up next.